Welcome to the MCU in Review podcast, where we review the MCU old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at MCUINReview. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, MCU in Review. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts are available. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It goes a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show, and we greatly appreciate that support. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon, and I'm joined by my two hosts, Emmy. How are you doing?
I'm feeling inspired.
Inspired. Nice. Clinton, how are you, sir?
I'm feeling damn good.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. We're here, guys. We are here. I think we've talked about this show that we're about to do more than any show we've ever talked about.
Like a month of Sundays.
Yeah, it's been a bit. So this is the who do we identify as? Who do you identify as? We have a lot
with who you identify with. It's my version, but
or who are you inspired by? You.
It
take
can
inspiration
be anything
from.
You want. We really took this time to hear from our listeners, and we're really excited to have a bunch of people taking part of this show with us. We can't wait to hear from you guys. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun one. I can't wait. So, yeah, let's do it, guys.
Let's do it.
All right. So, this is really, really a cool show because we've never had an interactive show. I don't think we've ever played.
First of all, it's a cool show because it's us three, period. We wouldn't have to be playing anybody to be a cool show. We are a cool show regardless.
Yeah, okay? No, very humble, and I agree. We are.
Yes. So, you know me. You know, they don't call me Clinton Humble Jump for nothing.
It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? All right. So, guys, without further ado, do we want to jump right into our listeners and see who they identify as?
I am so curious.
Okay. Yeah. And so
we're just jumping in, huh?
Oh, we're
going to the cliff.
Well, I mean, that's what this is here for. We've got seven audio messages and one written. I believe that's what we have. Correct.
I think so.
Okay. I told Emmy to keep a tally before we started.
She's like, well, it depends on if somebody...
Yeah, if someone doesn't show at the last second, it could be 6 audio and one written. So TBD,
coming
guys.
Coming in clutch.
I think I'm so curious about this because I took notes beforehand. And so trying to figure out like who I thought you guys would be or who I thought you guys would be inspired by or identify as
with
it. It's hard. Yeah. And so I'm very interested to see the reasonings behind even thinking about just myself, like who do I identify with? Mm-hmm. Who do I identify as? Who am I inspired by?
Yeah. That's really actually pretty awesome. And that's what we're going to do with the three of us is we're going to have each of us give our opinion. This is who I think you are. And then see if it lines up with who we personally identify as. So, or with.
I'll go first. Nelson Mandela.
No. Marvel.
Clinton. Oh.
Yeah. Clinton Humble Jump. Just also, jumping the gate.
Also.
Yeah.
Why?
If there's anyone you think of when you think of Clinton, it's Nelson Mandela, right?
Or Gandhi. I mean, Gandhi's pretty up there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they not in the
I think, no, they're not in the Avengers. No. Maybe in the
they're
first.
They're in the comics though, right?
Yeah, deep cut. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
fan fiction comics. Yeah.
I don't even know if they're in fan fiction comics, to be honest.
If they are, I need somebody to send that to our Twitter because I would like to read it. I'm just curious.
Wow, Mandela is a kick-ass Avenger, man. This is rad. So
Gandhi's not really kick-ass. He's pretty peaceful. So I don't know what he would. He would be the. What would he be? Oh, I don't even know.
Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I like.
Yeah,
that.
But I don't feel like I'd be fighting people.
does the Sorcerer Supreme have to fight people?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All
right. Did you not see any of these movies?
Good point.
Yeah.
The ancient one
just kind of sat around. She was like, eh, whatever. It's cool. Don't worry about it. Oh, man. So, hey, we're going to start off. This is really cool because the first person we're about to start out with for who they identify as or with, this is actually someone we talked about on our Thor Ragnarok review. I think it was Clinton that brought up like an Easter egg where... we know each other, he's a friend from work, it was a kid visiting the set, correct, Emmy? Is that mm-hmm. Yeah, so this kid actually follows our I don't know how we never tagged him in anything, and he found our podcast and he likes our podcast, and he actually sent this clip in on who he identifies as. So we are going to throw it over from, and it's his Twitter handle is basically the kid from work guy or kid or something like that.
The friend from work kid.
So yeah.
Let's just start by saying real quick, he got to meet Chris Hemsworth live and in person. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you imagine?
This is a really cool clip. This is a guy we shouted out to, and he is now sending us his audio clip. So without further ado, we are going to turn it to him now.
Hey, it's Darcy, the friend from work kid. The hero that I identify with is Thor. Mainly for one particular reason. As you could probably guess from me calling myself the friend from work kid, I wrote a line in the movie Thor Ragnarok, and it was, "We know each other, he's a friend from work." Now, it might just be biased because of this moment, but I really love the character of Thor, particularly the Thor that we've got post-Ragnarok. I really love his character. And I'm also probably a bit biased because, well, Chris Hemsworth is an Aussie, and as you can probably tell by my voice, I'm an Aussie. So, yeah. Well, I'm so happy to be featured on this show, and I hope you guys are having an amazing time. And please make sure to follow this podcast on whatever you can. From Work Kid out.
Thank you for that shout out. We really appreciate it. Friend from Work Kid and sees himself as Thor, which is awesome to me. Thor is an amazing, amazing superhero. I think you chose a good one. Really, really awesome stuff, man. That's just awesome. That is really awesome. And to say you wrote a Marvel movie line, you know, I can't say that.
Not a lot of people get to do that.
I sure as heck can't. That's pretty awesome, actually.
And one of the most iconic lines from the movie. In mm-hmm. my opinion.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And I just remember laughing. I was like, what? He's a friend from work. I'm like, where did that come from? And it was perfect. It was so
perfect. It is
perfect.
Kudos. Oh. Kudos.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sending that in. We really appreciate that.
Yes.
He also points out, like, the post-Thor Ragnarok mm-hmm. Thor.
Yep.
And I completely agree with him because I think that's the best Thor. Like, that's the best that we've seen of Thor is after Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
To Ragnarok and beyond.
No, I completely agree. To Ragnarok and beyond. Like, to Infinity and beyond?
That's what I was going for.
Little Buzz Lightyear.
It's still, he's technically in the universe. He's in Disney, so.
Yeah.
Buzz Lightyear is a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Confirmed. No.
I mean, we've tried to pull the claw in multiple times.
We have.
The claw.
Or the claw from Liar Liar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Canon, please. According to our podcast.
I'm just saying, if we review Liar Liar one day, you know, we just need a break from the MCU, and we're just, we fell off the deep end, and we just need to watch Liar.
We've lost our minds.
Yeah. And it's probably going to happen. I'm just going to warn you guys. If you see literally MCU in review, Liar Liar, just okay. Just
accept it.
Yeah. And we will do scene by scene breakdowns. So when he looks at her, like, and he's like, the claw and everything, is the family back together then? Is that a safe assumption by the end of it?
Is that Mephisto in the back?
Oh, we can do all these Mephisto references. Yes.
When you have 18 months of no content, you'll make any movie you love canon with
nothing
MCU.
Can stop Mephisto. It will be awesome. No, that is great, guys. All right, Liar Liar coming at you. Well, no, we have new content next week, so never mind. By the time you're listening to this, just a few days away. So, gosh, Falcon and Winter Soldier, man, cannot wait.
Did y'all watch the clip that released? I couldn't stop myself.
I did not.
And then I was like, I need to turn it off.
I've seen all the clips released.
Oh, so good. And it looks so good.
The first reviews are out for it too, which are great.
Yeah, you did tell us that. Like, hey, yeah. they're getting some heavy plays or heavy favors. So we're going to throw this over to our listener now for who they identify as. This is listener Will. Will sent us a clip. I've listened to this beforehand. I think he's trying to incite, you know, an argument here. Will, I blame you for the ending of this podcast forever. So before we started, I just wanted to make sure everyone's aware.
Say Iron Man 2. Do it.
Oh, no. It's here we go. Here's Will.
I identify as Iron Man Tony Stark. Because to go back to your Civil War review podcast, I don't care if my mom dies choking on an almond. I will go after Mr. Peanut with everything I have, regardless of if he didn't know he was doing it or Captain America says he's sorry. That's just me.
Wow. Will, you're going to throw that out here because Clinton was obviously on the in the Civil War episode back in the day. We have Team Cap and Team Iron Man, and Will just throwing it down now. So, I'm going to say, cool answer, Will. You're not trying to stoke any flames at all. You're wrong. It's not about who does it. It's about... Well, okay, it is about who does it, but he was mind-controlled. It's not the same person, technically. Technically, it's not. It's the same body, but it's not the same mind, so you can't... Oh, man, sorry. Clinton, what's your thoughts on Will?
I like you, Will. I will say...
You will say?
I will say...
Will...
To my own credit, because I'm humble.
That word keeps coming. The more you use the more humble you are. That's how it works. Yeah.
You know how I was team Iron Man in Civil War, right?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, I don't know if you were oblivious or not, but I was. Mm. And I think WandaVision just proved Tony's point.
Why do you say that?
Because superheroes need to be put in check. And if they would have been put in check, Wanda couldn't have done what she did.
Oh, you sound...
I mean, she still could have.
Yeah. You think putting her in check that none of this would have happened?
I mean, that was the point of Tony.
It could have been worse if she had been put in check? Do you think it could have been even more of a bad problem?
No, it could have been.
We saw Hayward trying to put her in check.
Trying to prevent it.
Yeah, anytime you put someone in check, everything goes smoothly. This is why I knew Will was going to start a fight. I knew as soon as we listened to his message. This is Clinton and I going back into our Civil War podcast right away on both sides. Team Cap, Team Iron Man. Anyway.
F you, Brandon. F you.
Thank you, Will, for sending. As soon as I remember checking this a couple months back when we originally asked for people, I was like, oh, this is going to start some stuff. Amy, what are you thinking?
I mean, he's got a point. He does have a point. And I think that point is valid. Like, if somebody is done doing you wrong, and you want revenge for who done you wrong, you should be able to get revenge for who done.
Clear minds prevail.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You should be able to get revenge for that. And I mean, he's not wrong.
Cooler heads prevail.
But like, it's a good point. It's a good point.
I'm not saying it's not a good point. I'm just saying cooler heads prevail. Will, darn it. I'm sorry. I'm coming for you, dude.
Squares. I think what you're trying to say is squares prevail.
We're going
to
move on from this one.
I love you, Will, by the way. Thank
it's
you.
It's not. It's not true.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's we've got two listeners as well. So this is going to be a great one. We've got another listener that has sent in a voice message, and this voice message comes from Paul. This is one of our listeners, Paul. He has sent in a voice message. I think this one was pretty darn good. I couldn't stop laughing at this. So hey. Thank you, kid from work. Thank you, Will. And now we are going to go to Paul.
Hey, I'm Paul. My six-month-old daughter, Caroline, identifies with Hawkeye because they're both big, giant babies. My wife, Sylvia, identifies with Wanda because literally the same exact thing that happened to Wanda in WandaView or in WandaVision happened with her. Same exact thing, scene for scene. And I identify with Rocket because we both get most of our meals from trash cans.
Yes.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, so his baby identifies as Hawkeye. That's okay. All right, that's a new one. And they
because they're both whiny.
Yeah, yeah, they cry all the time. So that is, and congratulations on your little Hawkeye, Paul, from all of us here on the podcast. That is really, really cool. And so, wait, his wife, everything that happened to Wanda happened to his wife. Is that what he said?
Yeah, yes. So, yeah.
She created old television. She created Paul. He's the Vision, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I guess. And she created their daughter, mm-hmm. little female Hawkeye.
Little Falca.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Fuck.
He also
meet the Falcas. Like
meet the Falcas.
Before he sent that audio message, he said that he didn't want to record anything because his voice is too sexy and all of our listeners would fall in love.
Oh.
So if you've fallen in love with Paul, you should use the hashtag Paul love.
And if you haven't fell in love with Paul, you can put hashtag sorry Paul no. So which
and you're rude. Yeah.
I was wondering why I had this feeling of love, this astounding feeling of love, but now I am aware it was Paul's voice, and mm-hmm. so it worked for me. So I guess I would be the hashtag, you know, of, you know, what was the hashtag for Paul?
I think it should be, I'm changing it currently in my head. It should be hashtag Pauling in love.
Pauling in love. Oh man. Or hashtag not Pauling in love. Okay. Yeah, that keeps it simple. Pauling in love and hashtag not Pauling in love. That is wonderful. So we've heard from three of our listeners so far. Paul, Will, kid from work. Friend from work, kid, excuse me. I kind of combine the two. So just really, really cool. Thank you so much for sending those in. So now I think it's time for us to talk about, okay, who do we identify as or with ourselves? So who wants to go first to be, hey, who do you think I identify as? Who are we going to start with?
Not it. I'll go last.
Not it. Oh, it's Emmy.
All right.
Sorry.
I wrote notes and y'all didn't. So
yeah.
Why you gotta be telling people?
Why about you gotta be so rude?
This ain't the assembled show.
Can't you see that I write notes too? Anyway,
I don't need notes with this good memory.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, if you just knew Clinton, I guess you would know.
We didn't, but I'm saying that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That was the best joke he's ever told.
Y'all are just bullies.
Oh, shut up. Y'all are just bullies. Oh, man. So, Emmy, this was really cool. So you want to know what we think, you know, who you identify as before. Okay. That's really cool.
I kind of want to take the approach too, like, you know, people who are like, I'm ENFJ or I'm not even sure what that is.
Confusing.
Yeah. I'm using the character's initials as like that trope of like, this is who I am.
Bring me in. You're losing me.
So instead of like INFJ or whatever you are, we're using the initials of the characters that you identify.
Why don't you just say the character's name?
I want you guys to guess first.
Okay. Okay. Well, wait, there's multiple characters
that you have? Oh, yeah. I have a whole percentage of who I am.
Oh my God. We shouldn't have expected anything less.
I am 73% one person, 23% one person, 2% another person, and 2% another person.
So this puts a whole new meaning to 23andMe since we've had 23 Marvel movies. And yeah. Now we're doing percentages with your DNA of who you are as a Marvel character.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'll count it though if you guys just get the big one. The big 73%.
Hawkeye.
Yeah, definitely Hawkeye for sure. Third wheel in it. Yeah.
You are assholes.
No, you know, I'm going to go out on a okay, I'm going to say who you identify as. Darcy. For me, it's Darcy. Because Emmy, I think Darcy is super smart. I think she is quick-witted and she's hilarious. And that is Emmy rolled up in a nutshell. She can hold her own. She needs her own movie. Hasn't had one yet. So Emmy needs her own podcast probably. So she can spout out math facts. But I remember reviewing WandaVision and even reviewing old like Thor the Dark World and stuff. And as soon as I saw Darcy, you know, I was like, oh, that's Emmy just wrapped up right there. And even though technically she's not a superhero, I don't give a shit. She's awesome. She's wonderful. She's smart and funny. And there wasn't a hero that had your wit, you know? And so Darcy, I just kept going back to her when I was thinking about this question. So yeah, if I had to pick one person in the MCU, and I mean this with all due respect, because I think she's one of my favorite characters and I want to see more of her, it's Darcy. That's my pick for you, Emmy.
Thank you. I like this.
Okay.
Can we continue to compliment me?
I don't know if Clinton's going to be on that one.
Oh, come on. They don't call me Clinton. Nice jump for nothing.
Oh, my gosh. Clinton, nice jump.
So. Oh, you do that. Thank you for taking me back to high school with that. Middle school with that last name
for.
Joke.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm going to say, you probably didn't expect this, and honestly, I didn't either, but the more I thought about it, I'm going to say Gamora. Okay. Because
okay,
Gamora is tactical and calculated, and so she seemed to start bad, but she was convinced to turn good when she was presented with all the information. So when I think Emmy, I think calculated, I think tactical, like, give me logic and reason.
Has a lot of forethought.
I can get on board.
Yeah.
So, and she's a badass. She's an independent, strong woman, which Emmy, we know, you know, kind of fights for
and
that.
And she will not succumb to pelvic sorcery.
That's right. I don't know that she dances or not, but if she, you know, had the right man, she'd probably dance. But I don't
no
know.
No rhythm.
But I just thought Gamora because of those reasons. So,
Well, Emmy, that is, what are you thinking? Now you've heard both of ours. So are we in the percentage at all?
Are we making you rethink your percentages?
It was really hard for me to leave one of your answers out, but I was like, well, I can't sit here on a podcast and be like, well, I'm 2% this person and 2% this person and 2% this person. And so I had to leave Gamora out because I feel like she's so much more badass than I am. But I thank you. Those are very sweet things that you said about me. 73%. I am Darcy. I'm sarcastic. I say what's on my mind. There is no BS. I am open, honest, smart, and I do what I want, and I'm not apologetic for being myself.
For some reason, when we did this, I was thinking powered individuals.
Oh, I thought it was anybody.
And I shouldn't have. No, no, it makes sense. But yeah. I guess my brain wasn't thinking of.
That makes sense, too. I honestly.
No, it's okay. I think it's great. I think that.
But there's going to be superpowered individuals in this percentage. So I'm curious to hear the rest of it. Yeah.
Right, right. But I'm saying Darcy is a perfect. I mean, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think she has powers.
We just haven't seen them yet.
No, I think she has power. Just being herself. Just being herself, she is powerful.
Oh, good point. Drop the mic.
Cheesy.
Drop the mic. Also, 23% of me, I feel like I'm very Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. I'm a badass with an affinity for alcohol.
Yes, why didn't I think of that one?
Yes, Valkyrie is a good one, actually.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When Valkyrie comes off the ship in Ragnarok, that's Emmy every time she shows up to the podcast.
You lie.
That really is, or at least at the end of the podcast. At the very end, that's her stepping out of the room that she's podcasting.
Just fall into my bed. It's okay. Oh, I mean, who's it hurting?
Yeah.
Emmy, I will not fall into your bed.
Whoa, Emmy.
You siren woman.
This is a family show, Emmy.
2% Wanda. I mean, the trauma, everybody's had it, thus the affinity for alcohol. Mm-hmm. And 2%, I really just kind of wanted him in the mix. 2% of me is Iron Man.
Nice. I knew it.
Cocky. I love math and science, and I like being right. So I think I am hashtag DVWIM.
You know, with those hashtag DVWIM. That's where that plays in.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, I think with the points you brought up about Iron Man, I think you're more than that percentage.
Especially how, like, you know, the facts and like the math and all that stuff.
Yeah, and the don't like to be wrong.
Yep. So.
No, I'm usually not wrong.
That's a sign that you don't like to be wrong, that you think you're always right. Okay. Some call it narcissism, I think.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, even they even call him, yeah, in the movies.
So maybe it's like 63, 23, 2, and 12.
All right. We better move on so people don't stay asleep.
So we got more listeners.
I'm just kidding, Emmy. I love you.
We got more listeners to get to as well. So this is a really, I'm so happy this person sent their clip in, because it's going to be wonderful. This is TK, Tara Kearns. She has her own MCU podcast. I highly encourage you listening to it. It's called There Was an Idea, a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. And she always makes me think outside the box with her analysis, her themes. It's one that I really, really enjoy. And she listens to us as well. And I would love to actually have her on a future episode. She's just out of this world. So she sent us a clip. Tara, thank you so much. We are going to refer to this clip real quick. But please, after hearing this clip, check out her podcast, There Was an Idea, a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Really, really think you guys will enjoy. And here's a small sample of what you will enjoy. Tara is going to take it away now.
Hi there, MCU in Review. This is Tara. I host There Was an Idea, a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, and I'm a big fan of what you all do on your show. I wanted to share my response to the question you put out about which Avenger do your listeners most identify with. And my answer, well, may get me called a square by some of your hosts there. That's all right, I'm willing to take it. My answer is Steve Rogers, Captain America. And the reason why is, I've mentioned this on my show, I see him as the character who I aspire to be like. And maybe that sounds kind of cheesy, but I know there's at least one Cap fanboy on your team. So hopefully you get it. And, you know, I'm a teacher, which I've mentioned many times. And for me, there's a quote that Steve says in Civil War when he says, "This job, we try to save as many people as we can. Sometimes that doesn't mean everybody. But if we can't find a way to, but if we can't find a way to live with that, next time, maybe nobody gets saved." And to me, that kind of captures some of the pressure that teachers put on themselves to reach every kid, to make a difference in the lives of every kid, to quote unquote try to save every kid. And while that's not what he's talking about in the context of that quote at all, it does make me think of that. And that idea that even if you can't save everyone, maybe even if you can't reach everyone, right, you keep trying. And if you can't keep trying, then nobody gets saved. I think that that's just one example of the types of lines that Steve says that really resonate with me as a person who, you know, in a few different ways is a leader, somebody who others look to. And honestly, sometimes I am not necessarily comfortable in that position, but I've grown to embrace it a bit more. And I have to say that Steve Rogers is a leader who I look up to. On top of that, I don't like bullies. I don't care where they come from. I think that's a great line. And I just look up to him. You can edit out that last part because I'm losing my train of thought here. But I know you guys will do a good job with that. But yeah, my answer, Steve Rogers, Captain America, is the hero who I see parts of myself in, want to see more parts of myself in, and definitely aspire to be. Thank you.
TK, thank you. Like I said, guys, there was an idea, a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. I'm going to plug that until the roosters come home. I don't know if that's a right slogan, but
Crow.
She is absolutely.
That's not right either.
Yeah, she's
the awesome. Roosters Crow. Yeah, it is.
That's what it is. TK, thank you so much for sending that in. That was such a great answer. Emmy, I know as a fellow teacher, this one probably I could see you getting a little emotional listening to her response. So I'm going to throw it to you first, if that's okay.
Yeah, I at the very beginning when she said she was a square, I was like, oh, teehee, can't wait to call her a square. But what a great point. I love that she's all about keeping trying, like, just to save whoever you can. And as a teacher, I mean, it's all about, like, every single day, like, you might not have the greatest interaction with every single kid every day, but you come in every day trying to have the greatest interaction with every kid. Mm-hmm. And it's, I love that. I love that. I loved that. And I might not call you a square for wanting to be Captain America anymore.
Wow. I completely agree. Clinton, what was your thoughts listening to TK?
Well, to what Emmy just said, I'm still calling Brandon a square. I will not call TK a square for liking Captain America. She brings up some valuable points, but just because Brandon's Brandon, he will always get shit for being a Captain America fan. TK, oh my God, I love that so much. We'll get to it in a little bit, but mine is a little more on that side, serious side, I guess. But I love that so much. And you brought up some very, very strong points. And even in the point where you're saying that, like, you know, we may not be what he is, but he gives you something to aspire to. And I think that's a good point for what he stands for. In all seriousness, we give Captain America a bunch of crap about his character and everything, but I think he is that person that you kind of strive to kind of work towards. He was maybe a square in the beginning from his first movie, but I think he feels him like he feels it out as the times change. He understands. He's one to pick up on things very quickly too. But man, that was with you and Emmy both being teachers out there, especially right now. It's something that you brought to light that was it needed to be said because you guys do so much and don't get enough credit at all for parents and for future generations. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Education is very, very important and it doesn't get enough credit and love and honestly money. But I love so much what you said in regards to relating with Captain America. That was beautiful. Thank you so much, TK. That was great.
It's a cool point to come at it from somebody who, like, who do you strive to be? Like, not just who do you identify with right now, but who do you want to become?
Who inspires you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
And from the Cap fanboy of the group, TK, I will say, yeah, what a wonderful thought-provoking answer that you gave. And thank you so much for taking the time also to send in a voice message. Please, if you've got some time, if you're listening to this, we would love to have you on the show. We'd love to review a Marvel movie or a show with you or just have a whole episode where we just...
Or Liar Liar.
Yeah, or Liar Liar. That's one of ours as well.
Let's have a kiki.
Yeah, like we would love to just talk with you and have you on the show. We'd love to... Is it your show? Just, we've got to make that happen. That's on my bucket list for 2021 is to collaborate. And TK is at the top of that list for me. Wonderful answer. Beautiful answer. And I just, you know, that's Captain America is so unobtainable. You know, gosh, he can hold Mjolnir. You know, he's such a worthy human being.
He's pretty too.
But I also think he's.
And that ass. It's America's ass. I'm sorry.
It's all good. But like he just embodies so much of what we can be and what we can strive to be. And if we just can scratch the surface of that potential, that's something special. And the way you related that to teaching and, you know, making sure you may not get to every student, but if we don't try, you know, and it was just beautiful messaging. What an amazing, amazing answer. And yeah, really hit me. And just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful answer.
We all praise Cap till he turns out to be Hydra.
That's the comics. That's the comics.
Yeah, that is the comics.
That's the comics. We're going to go a little bit different on this next one, guys. We've got a text message that we want to read live on the air. You may remember this individual. This is the worst UK accent you've ever heard in your entire life. If you are a deep dive fan of MCU Interview, you know this guy as Emmy's alter ego. This is a friend of the podcast, and he actually does live across the pond, even though we always make fun of that, it's a terrible accent. It's real. So we are going to throw it to Ben via text message because he would not send it via voice because everyone apparently thinks he's fake. So
Emmy, read it in a male voice, please.
A male British accent, please.
Oh, we're doing the British accent.
You want me to do a British accent?
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. I'm just not doing that. I can't.
You got to do a male's voice. You got to do a male voice.
Okay.
I love how she's like,
okay.
She
kept her same voice when she.
That wasn't the male.
Okay,
voice.
Okay. I know. Yet. That's why I was like, but you cleared your throat and then you still with the same high pitched normal voice. All right. Here we go. Emmy, here's your voice. You want to be down here. Clinton, give her some inspiration right here. This is what we need.
You want to be here.
Buick.
The banquet. Scarlet. Is that Coors Light? I don't know.
Stop.
Okay. This one I wanted to read because it is a fantastic point and it's actually pretty serious. And so I feel like we should bring it down a bit. Like
our voices bring the pitch down. Yeah.
No. Oh. Like it's a very serious point.
Okay.
So Being half white and half Asian makes it kind of weird that I identify most closely with Black Panther. I think growing up Asian post 9/11 made me very aware of racism and also meant that I felt more allied with African Americans. So I guess when Marvel did a movie which was very focused on people of color, that really chimed with me.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a beautiful answer too. Yeah.
Deep.
Very deep. And yeah.
Had I done it in a silly voice, it would have been bad.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. But really, really amazing answer, Ben. Thank you for sending that via text. That's something I'll never know, you know, and I don't pretend exactly to know. But I love hearing it and I love trying to understand, you know, I may never know, but I can try to understand. I can't relate, but I can try to understand. And that's what we all need to do, you know, is it may not be the shoes you wear, but it's your brothers and sisters that are wearing those shoes. And
yep.
How can you put yourself in that position? Beautiful, beautiful answer.
And I feel like the people that can relate to that felt that with that movie in a big way. And I think that was one big reason it was a huge hit, is there was representation finally.
Yeah.
From a demographic that hadn't been represented well in the past. And man, I think Brandon said it best. That was great. And we should try to understand that more from people that can't relate to that. There are millions of people that can.
Right.
Thank you. That's awesome. I love that.
And as a friend of Ben, I didn't expect that answer. Because I know Ben, and Ben is a scientist, and so I thought, like, oh, he's gonna go with Doctor Strange, Bruce Banner, yeah, or Tony Stark, or one of the science bros. And I really love that answer. Oh, honestly,
yes,
it was eye opening for me.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So we will keep that. Keep that momentum rolling, guys. We got one more listener before we throw it to me, and who I identify as. And when I say momentum, I know that's kind of, but this is beautiful. These are thought-provoking responses, and this is someone who I think is going to fall into that same category. She sent us her voice message earlier this week. This is Meredith. Meredith sent her who she identified as, and yeah, I think you guys are going to enjoy this one as well. So
can I just say real quick, I love this. Yeah. I love the look, you just said thought-provoking. Like, yeah, this is perspective, and that's one reason I wanted us to do audio. I wanted us to hear that emotion. I wanted to hear these people from their perspective. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's really cool. I'm really enjoying this, guys.
Yeah. I think you're going to enjoy this one as well, guys. Here's Meredith with who she identifies as.
Hi, guys. My name is Meredith. I wanted to first off start by saying that I love your guys' podcast. I listen to it every week, and I'm always very excited to listen to it. I know a lot of people are probably going to say this, but the character who I resonate with most, even before going into WandaVision, was Wanda. And some of that reason is because I'm a redhead, and I kind of just see myself in any redhead character, but that's, you know, beside the point. I don't want to go too emo, but before WandaVision, you could definitely tell that she was a character who saw herself as broken and beat herself up constantly. And then in this show, you see how much trauma she truly has and how much that's affecting her. And I know I've gone through, as many others have, a lot of trauma in my life. And what really resonated with me is how she dealt with her trauma. Like, at first, she didn't deal with her trauma well at all. Which I definitely resonated with. But what's important is that when she saw the damage of her actions, she did what was right. And because in the end, she wanted to be a good person. And I definitely resonate with that. I resonate with the idea that, you know, I am a selfish person sometimes. But when I really see what that causes, I do want to be better. So I absolutely resonated with that and the story that she portrayed. So yeah, this is getting long, but again, thank you guys for the podcast.
Thank you, Meredith. We appreciate you so much. You have nothing to thank us for this podcast. We are just three friends with mics. That's all we are.
And you could have went on for 10 more minutes. I would have enjoyed every second of
Meredith,
it.
Meredith, trust me.
That was
me.
Great.
Yeah, anytime. You send us anything, just don't ever worry about time. We've got it. Great answer here. And I love that we get to hear a perspective of some right after WandaVision. And Wanda, yeah, trauma, it surrounds her, but it doesn't define her. You know, she rises above, and but she doesn't shy away from it either. You know, and this was new territory for Marvel. You know, where trauma, you know, yeah, I guess we did see it with a little bit with Iron Man 3 with the post-traumatic stress, but I mean, this was, gosh, just
you couldn't fully flesh it out in a movie like you can a show.
I think Iron Man 3 would have been much better as a 9-episode series. I really do. Like, because then we could have delved more into it. But this was wonderful, Meredith. Thank you so much. And just the courage to speak on that as well. I respect it so much. And what a wonderful answer.
And something that you touched on was being selfish and like trying to do better. But when you're going through trauma, like Wanda or like anybody, I mean, it does take a little bit of selfishness to get yourself to the point where you can move past it.
Right.
And when you generally don't see it to that point. You don't see when you're experiencing, you're in your own world. I know that's a pun, but I don't mean the pun, but much like Wanda, but like what Meredith said, I mean, it really, you don't realize the damage that's done until it's done. And then you try to be better from that. But when you're in trauma or when you've experienced something terrible that shifts your world or turns it upside down, you don't care. And rightfully so, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
When you are experiencing things, you almost have to delve into those things, the hard parts of it, the sadness, the grief, have to realize, you have to feel it and experience it. Right. If you don't, you end up, it comes out in other ways in your life. But trauma, you create your own world and you don't realize the damage you've done here. And just like with Wanda and Lagos, I mean, she was trying to, it was almost like a foreshadowing of WandaVision when she was trying to help, but she killed, you know, like she destroyed half the building and some lives in Lagos. Her intention was good, just like it was here. She was just hurting. But then she sees the damage she's done. And I mean, to that point, just like we do with trauma. And when we go through things, we see the damage maybe later that we've done. But on the flip side of that, you have to feel those things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well said. I love that, Meredith. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Completely agreed.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be way more focus on mental health and working through trauma. And I love these response. I'm loving this, guys. I'm loving it.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you too.
I love Clinton. I'm going to say, I love that you keep bringing that up because that is, it's something that I've talked to my friends about a lot just in the past. And yes, mental health needs to be normalized. It needs to be talked about. Everybody needs to talk about mental health.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. No, I think mental health is just as, I think it's more important. Honestly, I mean, I can make that argument. I just really feel like we can all put on a smile. We can all put on a mask and we can all be okay. But there's a lot of deep pain inside for a lot of individuals. And I know we posted something on our Twitter where, you know, all these happy endings and then we see Wanda, you know, in pain. Those people are sometimes alone when they're going through this pain. Reach out, be a friend, even if they seem okay. And sometimes it's some of the best. Hey, are you okay? Are you doing all right? You know, just always reaching out, always being there. You know, you never know what someone's going through. You never know what someone's battling, even if they got the biggest smile on their face. Hey, just want to check on you. You doing okay today? You know, it goes a long way with me, honestly. And I know it goes a long way with others. And, you know, hey, we're all doing this. We're all going through this journey together, and there's always rough patches. So it's just,
I know if I'm going through some stuff and someone asks me if I'm okay, I love that they do, but man, I just waterfall. I just lose it. 'Cause that's the thing when you're going through something, but that's what you need.
Yes. You know, you need that you honestly need that release.
You got to have that release.
Yeah. Because if you don't, it's just, So, good stuff, man. Really, really. This was
good luck following that up, Brandon.
Deep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm not gonna do any of those justice. But guys, I gotta throw it to you first. Who do I identify as? And I will let you know if you are right or wrong.
I want to throw it to Clinton.
No, I want to throw it to Emmy.
Just because I have notes. Oh, you're just going to agree with everything.
Okay, okay.
It was your idea.
Oh, you say I just copy everything? I'm not me from high school in math class, okay?
You're going to plagiarize it.
No, I won't. I'm going to be that guy, and I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, God. Now I'm scared.
Oh, no.
No, I'm going to do the expected thing.
Okay.
Captain America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mostly because of Brandon on the podcast, who's trying to keep everything centered and focused while us on the outskirts, the Avenger, you know, us Avengers over here are trying to go on tangents or do these things. And he has to keep us ordered and in line.
Lady and Steph over here.
I can't say boner without getting in trouble. So, you know, just keeping me in check. And, you know, I can't, you know, not... Being Captain America, you'd think he'd be about freedom, but he just kind of limits it a little bit. You know what I mean?
You're such a jerk.
I love you, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Is that the only one?
I didn't do multiples.
Oh, well, shit.
No, I'm glad you did, though, because apparently I'm boring now. Because yours is layered.
It is layered, yes. Because
I'm here for it. That's fine.
Because people are, they're like onions. They have layers.
Listen, I will be the layer.
Oh, can
one
we review
podcast.
Shrek, guys? Oh, that would be wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Onions are like layers. Yeah.
Oh, what the hell did you
say? Oh, wait. Ogres are like onions. They have layers. Golly, I'm sorry.
Batman has a layer.
Oh, he does. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. R.I.P. Robin.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Crowbars. That's what killed Robin.
In what?
In Batman comics.
Which they were.
Joker kills Robin with a crowbar.
And oh my God.
And he comes back as Red Hood. Yeah. Mm. But he comes back as Red Hood.
Okay. I'm glad I didn't read the comics. That sounds very
the comics
aggressive.
Go, you know, to be fully...
We need a rated R Batman movie is what we need.
Fair.
I'm serious. We need one.
No.
We also need a rated R Blade movie. We need a rated R Deadpool movie. We need a rated R.
We already have two rated R Deadpool.
We have two rated R Deadpool movies.
We do need a rated R.
I mean,
and we actually have three. It was Blade the originals. Were those rated R?
No.
Oh, wow. I'm shocked. Okay. But then we do definitely need a rated R Blade movie. I'll agree with
you. I don't think we're going to get
it. We're not, but we do need one.
Yep. We are going to get a rated R Deadpool going forward in MCU, but that's the only one so far. Kevin Feige, will you reach out to your alleged friend, Kevin Feige, and find out if he can make Blade rated R, please?
I have actually talked to him recently and allegedly. Okay.
You allegedly talked to him.
Allegedly, okay. I talked to him, and allegedly Ryan Reynolds is currently like ticked off at Disney because they're being... Disney about the whole Deadpool 3 thing. So I'm not going to touch that beast.
I heard that too, but we won't go there. This is a
I'm
show
not gonna
about
touch
identifying
that beast.
With Emmy.
Okay. So for Brandon, I think Brandon is Hawkeye.
Big oof.
Don't worry. She got a she got sign language. If you,
I got a bird.
Yeah, she got a Hawkeye, a little hawk bird. Yeah,
I know. I'm absolutely kidding.
It's funny. You did the same thing we did to you. we called you Hawkeye at the beginning. This is gonna be a joke the whole time. Clinton, we see you as Hawkeye.
Yeah. No, yeah. I have a different one for him.
Clint Barton. Clinton.
Go for it.
You could also be Drax, because my jokes don't land well with you sometimes. You just don't get it.
They go right over my head, but I would catch them.
That was a thought I had. However, I didn't land on Drax. I went with Captain America because you keep us on track. You are a leader.
You're making a nicer version of what I said.
And you are loyal and square-ish.
I'm cool with that. I was like, can we record? I need to go to bed. That was a true statement.
You know who ain't loyal?
Oh,
hoes.
Yeah, these hoes.
These hoes.
These hoes, these hoes ain't loyal. Yeah.
That's right.
I agree with that.
Okay. So I put you as a mix. Like I said, we're all a duality of people. Like, we're not just one person. Mm-hmm. So I also, Brandon, I think that you are also Thor-like because you were poetic and well-spoken.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, and those arms, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. You're welcome.
I'm sorry.
I can't make thunder noises.
I didn't have a ticket to that gun show.
I just brought out the guns, guys. Well, no,
You broke my screen.
I appreciate you guys. I see. Oh, you're not done. Emmy, I'm so sorry.
No, I'm not done.
Are you going to give us percentages? Or are you just going to say you're part this, part that, layered onion bullshit?
I didn't do percentages for you guys. I did layers like onions.
Okay. Oh, that's fair. Okay.
I also,
so we make you cry. Got it.
Yes. Yes. Every once in a while. I also, and this is no shade. Like, I honestly need this as a compliment. I think that you might be part Mantis because you're so empathetic.
How would that be shade?
Yeah, Mantis is awesome.
I don't think when we did this that it had to be gender specific.
No.
I didn't take it that way.
No.
I agree. I just wanted to. You never know who's going to take something the wrong way.
I know. Oh, we know.
Not me.
And I also.
He said you got a pee?
I said not me.
Oh.
I also feel like there's just, this is like a half of a percentage, but there's a little bit of Ant-Man in there because. If you ever decide to procreate, if that's something that you decide, like, in your future, you're going to be that dad. No. Like, you've already got the dad jokes. Like, that's going to be you. You are a CT.
Brandon, don't get the dad jokes. I do the dad jokes, okay?
You do good jokes.
You do Clinton jokes, not dad jokes.
They're pretty... Daddy.
He does daddy jokes. I do dad jokes. Oh. Well, I appreciate that, guys. I really do.
So you're Ant-Man and Thor.
Yeah.
Which is very stark differences.
I see what you did there. You know, it's so...
You're a hashtag CATM.
Yeah, I kind of went with two characters that I was stuck with on this one. The first one, it was not that I feel that I'm this guy in the slightest, but I definitely believe Captain America is who I strive to be, similar to TK's response. I thought she put it way more eloquently than I ever could, but Captain America is someone I genuinely aspire to be. I don't think I see myself as him, but it's someone I want to be. It's someone that, you know... It's just every single day. And when I'd watch those movies, I always felt more inspired and I felt more, I don't know. It's kind of what you want the picture perfect America to be in a way, you know, it's just, we're not fighting for, there's no political lines, there's right and wrong, you know, and I and a right and wrong can be on the blue side and the red side. It can be anywhere. And that's what I loved about Captain America is you think you know one man or one individual, and he always just kind of surprised you. He didn't seem like the guy who would be standing up against the surveillance era, you know, like, you know, especially after the first Avengers, you know, where I don't know. I always appreciated Captain America. So that's who I aspire to be. In a weird way, guys, I do see myself as, weirdly enough, as Star-Lord. I feel like I'm kind of an idiot. I feel like I pretend to know what's going on. I pretend I'm a leader when everyone on the ship goes, "Who are you kidding, Quill? you're what is it? You know, you're one dumbbell away from being fat," or something like that. It's like, I feel like you guys are my Guardians of the Galaxy who just keep me in check constantly, and like, "You ain't the leader," you know, and like, I'm like, "You will not take our pod today, sir." I feel more like that guy who tries to be, you know, and just tries to hold on as best as I can, but you guys see right through me. So I definitely saw a Peter Quill is more who I am, and a Captain America is who I aspire to be. So that's kind of who I landed on, and it was really the Infinity War scene where just that entire scene is like you guys and me, like just like whatever, shut up, and I agree with that. So.
I saw that for a second.
Yeah.
Whenever I was trying to think of who you are.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yes, you're right. Maybe sometimes that is who you are. But I think that for the most part, you are more like loyal and empathetic. And so that's why I chose the other ones.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, guys. That means a lot. So, you know, hey, we are going to switch back to our listeners. So we've got one, maybe two. We've got definitely one. But this is one I'm also excited about. This is one of the friends of the podcast. This is also a listener of the podcast. This is Gina. She has a wonderful message here for our episode, and I'm really, really excited about this one. So, guys, we're going to turn it over to Gina now for who she identifies as/with. So,
disclaimer real quick. Gina is a really, really, really close friend of mine for many years. Like, I know her in person pre-corona.
Oh, wow. You knew people pre-corona.
Yeah, yeah. And so I get full clearance to talk shit about her after this. So,
okay.
Just so everyone knows, I'm not being an asshole. I know her personally.
You're a rude bitch.
Before we even start, Gina, take
it. I hope you're listening, Gina.
Take it away, Gina. Here we go.
Okay. So, I am sending this for my character you relate to in the MCU. I went back and forth many times on who I was gonna go with, and me and Clinton talked. Originally, had the MCU not ruined him, we would be talking about Hawkeye right now. Because I don't think I've ever related to a character more than Clint Barton, but we're talking comic Clint Barton that was not given a family and a farm, which I will forever be bitter about. However, immediately I thought of Loki, and I thought, you know, there's a good chance this has more to do with my love for this character than that I actually, I guess, relate to this character. But in talking it out, it came down to more of, I think in order to love a character as much as I love this character, I kind of have to relate to him a bit. And it didn't take very long to kind of start to see some connections, personality connections and ways of being and such that kind of fit into this box, I guess. So I'm going to try not to ramble. I've made notes, so I'm going to kind of click back and forth. I'm going to check. Make sure this keeps running while I'm not on here. It does. Okay. Sorry. So, just a couple things. Biggest thing is, I wouldn't say biggest, but one of the things would be, of course, he's the black sheep. of the family. I think a lot of the difference in that is that, of course, he's adopted and, you know, I can't really relate there. But, you know, I'm weird and quote unquote quirky or however you want to look at it. And I think a lot of Loki, especially after he finds that out about himself, he wants to be different and be seen as different and be accepted for those differences instead of in spite of. And I think that's something I relate to a lot, and especially in the way that he actually is. That's what he wants, and he's gotten it. You know, everyone accepts him completely. You watch Thor and you see, even though Sif and the Warriors and everybody else are kind of weary and you know of his trickery and know what to expect from him, everyone still kind of accepts that Loki is Loki and that is what it is, and they love and cared about him regardless. A lot of it also comes down to Frigga and his love for his mother and almost the femininity to him. He's not this big, bulky fighter. He's a little more fragile, not even just physically, but emotionally. He's kind of ruled by his emotions in a lot of ways, which he kind of learns to work with later on. But I think that comes into play as far as his family. You know, everyone always looks at Thor, always forgives Loki and lets him back in, but to look at it from Loki's perspective, even when Loki hates them all for his own, you know, reasons, when push comes to shove, he's always going to come back and help his brother. He's always going to kind of be back for that. And Thor knows his tricks. He knows what to expect. But it's not going to stop Loki from trying. And that leads to another, you know, relation that I have, which is another thing Clinton and I talked about, which is I cheat at games. If there's a way to cheat, I'm going to cheat. It has nothing to do with me being just such a sore loser or that I just have to win. It's more just to see if I can get away with cheating. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter to anyone but me. It's just if I can end a game, whether I win or lose, and know that I cheated and got away with it. It's just a challenge. And I think a lot of that, once you hit, you know, Thor 2, once you hit Ragnarok, once you hit a lot of those, you kind of see Loki knowing that Thor knows what to look for, but kind of trying anyway just to see what he can get away with. He kind of watches and observes from a distance and in a way that most people don't. And I think I'd like to think I relate in that way, that I do those, but I'm probably more along the lines of, I don't know, selfishness without comprehension, which I think is also a part of Loki. I think a lot of what he does is very selfish without him realizing until hindsight that it's selfish. I think hindsight has a lot to do with him. A lot of looking back and being like, hey, I probably could have handled this better, but being too stubborn to move forward in that light and instead sticking with the shitty plan that he had from the beginning, you know. One of the biggest ones is Loki creates chaos once he loses control, and that's something I've done my entire life, and it is obviously on a much lower scale. I've not killed anyone that I know of or, you know, done any kind of world-altering things, but the second I feel like I no longer have control of a situation, I create chaos to, I guess, have a bit of control myself. And he does that on a very large scale. The second he feels that it's out of his hands, he has to make things worse, just because even if they are worse, it's a worse that he has control over. So that's very much a way that I relate to him. I also like that I'm going this route because I feel like, you know, a lot of people like to talk about the things they relate to as far as characters go based on very positive things or ways they want to be. I could talk all day about ways I want to be based on other characters and characteristics of them that I wish that I had. But I guess kind of to talk about this anti-hero and to some people this villain and his faults and things, and to see myself in them and doing this. I've loved Loki since I was probably 6-7 years old. I've always loved Loki. I've always had this place in my heart for him, but, and I've seen every movie, I've seen all of this, but I rewatched all the Loki bits. You know, it was really hard research, let me tell you. But just to see, and I think I kind of learned a little more about myself than I expected to learn. I think it started out as a, yeah, okay, I'll do Loki, we'll see how this goes, and kind of ended with a, yeah, okay, now I understand why I feel the way I feel about this character. There's a lot more than I expected as far as things that I relate to in regards to him. One of the most obvious, I think, is that he kind of just wants to be left alone, especially when you look at Thor 2, just different shit. Even with him in, like, the, you know, dungeons, he's just reading and chilling until things go awry. And, you know, now he's got to be this, as Tony said, full tilt diva. He wants to be seen. He wants to, you know, he's gotten pushed to this point where he has to make a scene. So he's going to make sure everybody sees it. I'm very rarely dramatic, but I feel that when I hit that point, it is very similar in the sense that, okay, I've been driven to this part. And again, it's hindsight. It's not always really, it's very rarely that I'm right. But at the time, it's okay, well, you pushed me here, so now we're going to go big. I also think there's a constant second guessing to him, but he's very much too stubborn to shift, like I mentioned earlier. There was a conversation Clinton and I had years ago about me having this realization that I'm stubborn, without ever having that realization before, and he thought that was hilarious. Me now, I can see, like, yeah, I'm a very stubborn human being, so I could see why that would be funny, but I think that's a lot that I relate to as well. One that I think was kind of deep for me that I didn't expect to, I don't know, hit me the way it did is that he'd rather hurt himself than be hurt. And you can see that in many different instances. He would much rather bring attention to something shitty about himself. He would much rather throw himself under the bus, not for someone else, but just to make sure no one else does it to him. And that is a very huge characteristic of me. I will point out negative things about myself that no one would really ever notice, but I want to do it to make sure no one notices on their own. So that was a big one that just kind of, like, I'm watching certain scenes and seeing certain things that he does. Like, I do that so much. Things that if I wouldn't mention them, they would probably never be noticed. But I can't risk someone noticing on their own and even having a negative thought. So I would much rather be like, hey, look at this terrible thing. Or, you know, notice this terrible thing that I think is terrible about me, because I don't want you to notice it on your own. So that was a big one that kind of had that, okay, well, this is a thing about you. There's also his ability to constantly adapt and thrive in chaos, which is my life. I live in a chaos tornado. It's very rarely my own chaos, but I adapt and live in it very easily, to the point where when there is no chaos, I almost don't really know what to do. So the adapting to any situation, I wish I was better at it, but I do relate in that sense that it doesn't matter what happens to him, he's always able to flourish and survive. But yeah, back to the feminine shit, you know, there's a lot about him that the daggers, if anything, everybody, you know, that's kind of a female weapon, or the way that he fights, the things that he does, the magic, the tricks, and everything that he got from his mother. And the fact that, like I said, he is ruled by emotion more times than not. Although spite does seem to overpower his emotion a lot, especially, like, if you look toward him and Chains speaking to Odin, the fear and uncertainty and spite and humor and everything that he's feeling at the time. It's really the spite that overpowers everything else. It's what keeps him from being emotional until he can't, which is the mention of not seeing Frigga again and things like that. But I really love that about him, and that there's never any negativity about it. You know, people who love the comics also know Loki's gender fluid. There's Lady Loki. He's had children. He has an eight-legged horse. Like, there's a lot going on there. But I really adore the fact that he's not this brute. He has this other way of doing things, which I feel like I kind of always look for another way. I don't want to do things in a regular sense. obviously, again, this is at a much lower scale, but I guess the last bit would be a humor to cover fear. There's many instances from Thor all the way to Ragnarok and all the way to Infinity. Like, it goes on all the way to the end with Loki of him using humor to cover fear. And that is a major thing for me. I would rather laugh than cry, so I will make a joke of anything. And a lot of times it's really not the time or place, but it's something that helps me keep myself in check. And you see him do that so many times. So that is definitely another thing that I relate to in regards to him. There was also a comment in Thor 2 from Frigga talking to Loki when, you know, he says, or she says, "So I'm not your mother," and he says, "You're not." She says, "Always so perceptive about everyone but yourself." I think that's probably the biggest one for me. I can walk into a room and I can feel the energy, and I can know exactly how someone, I can know if someone's angry, if there's an issue, if there's a problem. I know, especially, of course, with people that I know, I can feel it out. I can know how to act or portray myself or what personality I need to have at the time in order to handle this situation. But I'm very not perceptive in regards to myself. I don't see the things that I do and the way that I handle things until I really take a step back. And I think this kind of made me do that in a positive way. And, you know, a lot of this that I've talked about has kind of been negative, but it's also been kind of good for me. Like, I've enjoyed kind of seeing myself in a different way. I think in a lot of ways that I needed to. But in conclusion, I liked this. I enjoyed it. Loki is one of my favorite characters. He always has been. And even if it is kind of negative or down or whatever, to realize that I relate to him in all the ways that I do makes me feel a little closer to the character. So I hope this was entertaining and not rambly. And it's been 14 minutes. So yeah, I'm going to go and send it. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to share my Loki feels.
Thank you, Gina. That was wonderful. that was not rambling. That was clear, concise. That was wonderful points throughout the entire MCU journey of Loki. And what a unique perspective that Gina has. We are all talking about Captain America, and we're talking about all this and truth, honor, and blah blah blah. And that's really good. That's amazing. That's wonderful stuff. We're talking about Thor. We're talking about, and Gina flips everything on its head. And she relates to Loki. And I'm not going to ever play Uno with her. I'm just not. I'm just saying that right now.
She'll cheat.
She's going to cheat. So, Gina, I've never met you before, but I plan on meeting you because you seem like a wonderful person. Whenever COVID is done, that is one of my bucket list items, is to come down to Knoxville and all three of us record in person, and our friends are all mingling with one another. It would just be awesome. But anyway, this was so cool. That was so cool. And I mean, Clinton, you're closest with Gina. What was this like hearing her, you know, her arguments? And I mean, how spot on, obviously, for knowing her, is she with Loki and those characteristics?
Well, this is the second time I've heard it because she sent it to me originally. So that's 30 minutes of my life I won't get back.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm just kidding. I love you, Gina. I loved it. I loved it because she did flip it on the script. She did flip the script on it. Like, she brought out a perspective of a character that I love, that I've talked about in the MCU on our podcast and our retrospectives. I love Loki because he's not your typical quote unquote villain.
Yeah.
You can almost understand why he feels the way he feels about things. And I think the things I've said previously in the podcast about him, or him, like Gina said, an anti-hero, but Gina just really filled that up with why I love this character so much. There's so much depth to this character, and you can almost understand why he is the way he is, or why he's acting the way he does. Like we've said before about how Odin treated him and what he had to go through when he found out who he was.
Right.
You know, I loved it. I loved Because, I mean, let's be honest, life isn't black and white, and there's a lot of gray, and there's a lot of chaos and craziness as a human that we deal with. And Loki kind of encapsulates that. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not just a Disney movie where everyone's happily ever after or it ends well.
Mm-hmm. I loved her point too, especially about the, you're always so perceptive about anyone but yourself. You know, mm-hmm. What a raw take and what a quick line in the MCU, but that she took it and related to it. And also mm-hmm. with kind of almost empathic, you know, she feels the room. She feels what everyone else is thinking, but she sometimes struggles with feeling her or understanding her own thoughts and emotions and how she's portraying. What a brave thing to say and share. And I just absolutely, well, that was my favorite thing out of everything she said.
She's a very empathetic person. She can, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
I never thought that I would equate myself to Loki. But after hearing Gina speak about being a big girl, like, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but surprise, I'm a big girl. And so, like, her talking about, like, I'm going to call it out before other people can call it out, like, that resonated with me. And the whole, like, Loki kind of doing that in his own way.
I think you're right, though. Like, in the point of, with Loki, though, he does, I mean, he embraces who he is, even though he knows it's bad. Mm-hmm. In his mind, it's bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has his reasons for doing things, but he knows how he'll be perceived, but he embraces it.
Right.
Which I feel like is the point she was making, is like, anything I feel bad about myself, I'm going to call it out before anyone else can.
Yeah. You can't say it because I said it first, you know, and thus,
I'll own it before you can make fun of me.
And thus, you can't say anything that I don't already know. So you shouldn't even just say it, you know, like it's a defense mechanism, really.
Yeah. And which makes sense with Loki, because he's the character of mischief. Like
he's the character of mischief, but he's also in the shadow of Thor. And he's like, you know what? You know, I know I'm not this. So yeah.
So with being a character of mischief, I feel like you have to scan the room and know how things are and what's going to happen. So you know how to navigate your trickery or mischief. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to get a full view of the room before you can do that.
Exactly where I was trying to go. Thank you guys for getting me there.
Yeah, no, just and just an absolutely thought provoking and Loki just gender fluid. How cool is that? We obviously haven't seen it in the MCU, but we've seen it through the comics, you know, and just awesome. Really cool note there that I took. And I just also think the way Loki is constantly, you know, he's just guarded. He's very guarded. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that is, but there's someone good in there.
Yes.
You know,
and which is what Thor sees.
Exactly. When the whole world's saying, how can you fall for this again? It's this man
knows
his brother, and he was there in his brother's last moments, you know, and he still believed in him and his brother.
And in Loki's last moments, he did the right thing.
Loki's arc in the MCU, and we're about to see him again, which is awesome, because Tom Hiddleston is just too perfect as Loki. You can't get rid of him.
100%.
Yeah, but the fact that, but he'll always have that arc to me from the very first Thor, obviously the Avengers, what we saw, but to Avengers Infinity War. That's, even though it was just a very quick, brief moment, we saw the hero that he always was, and with all his faults, with all his flaws, there's still an amazing human being in there, and there's one that stood up when it mattered the most. And That's
I love it, love it, love it, Gina. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina.
And we're talking about the main villain of the original Avengers movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is awesome. When I told Gina about this and that we were doing an episode like this, she went hardcore into the MCU again. And you know, she was like, I want to say Loki, but that's, I mean, that's her favorite. And they're, like she said, for good reason. She understands it more now because she did a deep dive into this character.
And how she also came out of it, like, he's just my favorite character, but then she came out of it and, like, felt more connected to the character afterwards.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. So do we have a final one before we throw it to Clinton, Emmy?
Depends on if you dial her number or not.
Okay, we're going to have to get a soundbite. So we are going to work on that right now. So we will get a soundbite from Jess, who will tell us who she relates to in the MCU. And you won't have to wait at all because you're going to hear it right now.
Oh, it's Ant-Man, for sure. He's my spirit animal. I think that we have a lot in common in terms of height and... mental capacity. I think we're very much the same person, really. Also, I just love Paul Rudd. I just love him.
She really liked a Paul Rudd.
How tall is Paul Rudd?
I'm pretty sure he's 4'9".
How tall is your friend Jess? Because she said they're the same height.
About 4'9".
I'm about to look it up.
I don't think Paul Rudd is 4'9". I don't know why. I've just got a feeling that he's not.
He's 5'10", actually.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm 5'11", so we're almost the same height. So okay. I guess I can relate there. Well, as far as Paul Rudd being hot or attractive, not so much for me.
Seriously?
No. His charm is his humor and the person he is.
He's not funny.
Unattractive to me, but he's not like attractive. So, Brandon, what do you think? Is he attractive?
Is Paul Rudd attractive?
F. Mary Kill.
But we need three.
We have one person.
Yeah. F. Paul Rudd, marry Paul Rudd, and kill Paul Rudd. And it's so funny. One of our 5-star reviews was like, hey, you guys need to do F, Mary, Kill more often. Well, that was to do with the movie, but hey, I guess we could throw it out there every once in a while. The Spider-Man.
Paul Rudd.
Okay. All right. F, Mary, Kill. Paul Rudd.
Jason Segel. Ryan Reynolds. Ooh, that's a good three.
Jason Segel.
He's not in the MCU, so I have no idea why she put him in here. But
I know. This because don't go with the theme, Emmy.
He's in I Love You, Man with
I know
Paul
who he is.
Rudd.
He's also in that show.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
And the movie that's great, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Okay, I'll tell you. I will marry Paul Rudd, I will kill Jason Segel, and I will F Ryan Reynolds.
You've got the... Well, no. I would flip those. I would F Paul Rudd, kill Jason Segel, and marry Ryan Reynolds. Because Ryan Reynolds, I want to like hear him talk. He's so funny. Like that dude, just his delivery on anything.
Well, so is Paul Rudd.
Oh, I'm not against you, but Ryan Reynolds hits my funny boom. My honey bone.
Your funny bone.
Just Ryan Reynolds is absolutely hysterical. So I'd flip those two for me. Emmy, are you going to be the tiebreaker or are you going to have a complete different set?
I feel really, really, really sad for Jason Segel.
He got killed 3 times. Well, you put him in there.
I know, just because he was in a movie with... Paul Rudd.
Okay. So,
oh my God.
So give it F, Mary, Kill. Who would it be?
I would F Ryan Reynolds. Mary Paul Rudd.
Okay. Girl, you're with me.
And
Kill.
I'm not going to say the rest of it.
Kill Jason Segel. It's okay. We're
friends. Because I feel bad for him.
Yeah, well, you're the one that threw him in.
He's doing better than us.
When you have Paul Rudd and Ryan Reynolds and you throw Jason Segel in there, what do you think is going to happen? Really?
Yeah, come on. Can't do that.
Yeah, that poor guy.
Okay, that was rude of me. Yeah, I apologize. That's on Emmy. Jason, that's on me. That's on me.
Well, so speaking of which, we got to get to Clinton now. This is the final one. I kind of want to go first because I know Emmy's got notes, so she's going to have her notes regardless. So Emmy,
didn't take any on me.
If it's okay with you, I'd like to go first.
Go for it.
I just don't want plagiarism attached to my name. So Clinton, there's one character that I immediately think of you every time I watch the MCU, every single time. And it's so funny because we've been talking about him for a while. Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. The reason why is because he's hilarious. He's absolutely hysterical. One of my favorite parts in the entire MCU is the very first Ant-Man where, like, Hope and Hank are having this incredible bonding moment. And he's like, this is great. This is great. You're healing. And, like, and he's like, I shouldn't have said that right then. And no, you guys were having a moment. Yes. And he goes, I'm going to make some tea. And like, that's the most Clinton thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I'm going to make some tea and head out. But there's also a beautiful moment in the same movie where he's sitting in a car with Hope and he's like, you know why he's choosing me? I'm expendable. And he's got this reflection on himself. He sees himself. He's very real and honest. And he's not joking anymore. He's focused. He's calm. He's calculated. And he's making the ant spin that penny in the car. And that is Clinton. He can be funny, hilarious, crazy, and make you bust out laughing and Paul Rudd's facial expressions. Oh my God, his facial expressions. Clinton has facial expressions for days. I wish this was a video podcast because he makes me laugh a lot just by his looks. When he just kind of does a head tilt. Like, there it is. He just did the head tilt right when I said he does head tilts. Like, stuff like that. Just it cracks me up. You know, he's got a very animated, funny, like, it's just expressive face. And it's awesome.
Funny face.
You know what I mean. And but also, he can be serious. He can be with you. He can, and he's super smart. Ant-Man, he's super smart as well. To me, Paul Rudd, in a sense, when you did the picture of you and Emmy as Ant-Man and the Wasp, I thought it was perfect that you were Ant-Man, just because I've always seen you as that Paul Rudd character before that, and I never thought I'd have a chance to really tell you. I think of Ant-Man, I think of Clinton, and he's one of my favorite guys in the MCU as well, and you're one of my favorite guys that I know.
Aw, so, thanks, pal.
So, really, I know that there's probably others, but man, I gotta say, you just, and Paul Rudd just, how the hell do you not love that man? How the hell do you not love Clinton? And that's it in a nutshell. To me, you're Scott Lang, man.
I'll take it. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's really nice to be complimented on, right? Like,
no.
That's just nice.
Emmy, what do you got?
She's
about to shit on this parade.
Absolutely not. I would say that you're a hashtag HRFS.
HRFS. Is there a Scott Lang in there? Or
if that H is for Hawkeye, I'm getting off the podcast.
So first of all.
Actually, no. Forget everything I just said. He is Hawkeye. Clinton is Hawkeye. I would say 5% Ant-Man, 95% Hawkeye. Yes.
Okay.
Based on the first few words of first few letters of his name. Yeah. Clinton.
Yeah, exactly. So first off, I think that you are a Batman.
Wait a minute.
Oh, that was a really funny joke.
Was it?
Is your mom's name Martha?
What is happening?
No, okay. All right. So you are an HRFS. So H is for Hulk. Because you are intimidating, but with a heart of gold.
That is nice. Right? Why am I intimidating?
I was going to say, I don't know how he's intimidating.
I mean, some of the jokes that you say, like, people don't get them every once in a while. And
yeah,
so,
that's fair.
Like, you can be an intimidating character.
Or
I don't mean to be.
Or like Hulk, misunderstood.
Ooh,
Good point.
I will say that. Yeah.
The R is for Rocket because I feel like that is 100% you.
He said these disrespectful things. That is true. He has no idea what he speaks of. That is also true.
You are sarcastic. You are the funniest out of the group. I mean, like, you are the Rocket. You are the Rocket of this circle of jackasses.
Yeah, and he's like, and he would say if we were like going into a battle or something, look at us. Standing, bunch of jackasses. That would be
that would be me.
That would be him in a heartbeat. Yeah. Yeah, happy now? Like he would say something like that too. Here we are. So
okay, so the F I'm gonna say is for Nick Fury because you don't take no shit.
And he also he wears an eye patch all the time. That's why it's not a video podcast. But he definitely has an eye patch.
I mean, to the spirit of that, I have one bad eye. So one of my eyes is 20/20 vision and one is not. So when I ever got contacts or glasses, I only had to wear one contact. So that was cheaper.
Was always the lens popped out of the other.
No, the glasses, I just had one prescription lens. So.
Okay. So yeah, Nick Fury is accurate. What's your last
one? Yeah. And the last one is Spider-Man, because you are a sarcastic asshole. And I think that's what Spider-Man is.
So mine isn't, I'm an asshole.
But I love Spider-Man. Like, I don't think you understand how much I love Spider-Man. I'm just kidding.
And he's going to eat
us. And he's going to eat a spider.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I will never eat a spider.
If we get to 100.
I would never call myself Spider-Man because I hate those
arachnids.
Arachnids. Things. Those bugs.
Those bugs.
They're not bugs. They
are bugs. Bugs a general term.
So, Clinton, who do you see yourself as, sir?
Actually, two different people.
Okay.
In the MCU.
Yes.
It was just one, but the more I thought about it. So, first of all, I see myself as Rocket. Yeah. Just because of the sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that.
I mean, Rocket is a person that uses sarcasm and dry. I mean, he comes across as hateful, but as we see later, especially in Endgame, Infinity War, he's got a heart.
Yes, he does. But they're also putting together the nano gauntlet. He goes, boom! That's also him at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that, but it's all defensive.
No, it is.
He's been through some shit. Sure. And he masks that with his humor, sarcasm, assholeness, whatever you want to call it, to shield for you getting close. Mm-hmm. So I can relate to that on a big level. And secondly, and bigger, I think, and they kind of go hand in hand. It's weird because the characters are not anyway related. They're nothing alike. But from my perspective, I think the MCU has really shown these two attributes or these two characters. The second would be the Hulk.
Wow, Emmy, you nailed it.
Well, not for the reason Emmy said. You said the reason was what, Emmy?
Intimidating,
yeah.
Intimidating with a heart of gold.
Yes, and I get that. I mean, I don't know that I have a heart of gold. I try to do good, but I've been told I've been intimidating, but that ain't the reason I chose. I chose the Hulk. Mm-hmm. So I chose the Hulk, and I'm going to get real for a minute, and I'll try not to dive too deep, but as a person of the LGBTQ community, so I'm a gay man who lives in a very small town, and my entire life, I masked that part of me, and I thought it was bad. And so with Hulk and Bruce Banner, Bruce thought that the Hulk was a bad part of him for so long and tried to hold that back. And when he needed to, it would come out and it would help, whatever. But as we saw, as his story went through the MCU, Hulk and Banner merged, and it was for the benefit, but they never communicated with each other. They never really even took time. So I was that person that never would explore that side of me, who never would admit that side of me, who never, I was just terrified of it because I was told from the small town community I was in that that was a monster. Like, you don't do that. You're bad. You're, I thought I was bad for so, so long, just inherently bad. I mean, even from a young age, when I realized I was a gay person, I thought I was bad because of the, what I was around. And I worked in ministry for a while, worked in, you know, a religious community. And that was talked about. That was not good. That was bad. That was bad. And so it took a lot of years of reconciling who I was with the person I was showing people I was. And to me, it was a monster. And you don't show that side of you. And you'll never be able to be who you are because you're bad. And you'll wreak havoc. And you're going to let people down. And you're not going to be the person you should be. And the reason I relate it to Rocket is because the whole thing of Rocket with sarcasm and things like that is a defense mechanism. I mean, with all the torture and trauma he went through, I wasn't tortured. I had a great childhood. So I don't want anybody to think I had like this terrible childhood or anything. This was all internal for me. This was all a product of my environment and my surroundings. But I just thought I was a monster. And I thought that, I remember being in middle school and saying that I would never, ever, ever come out because I care about people and I care about what people think, or I did for a long time. And if they knew this side of me, they would never speak to me again. And I love people. I love being social. I love community. I love people, period. Background.
It's almost like
gender, race, whatever. Like, love, I love people.
Yeah, but you also love pleasing people and making them happy more than yourself.
I did.
Yeah, at that time.
Yes. And so I never wanted people to think bad of me. And from where I'm from, they did. I mean, it was just a community that thought that was terrible. But it's something I didn't have control over. And just like Banner, he was exposed to gamma radiation. He had no control. When he got angry, he turned into this monster. And then when we see it later in Endgame, they learn to work together. Coexist. And they're one person.
Yeah.
And they're doing fine. And it's funny, like you think of Endgame, when you see Hulk and they go back in time to the Avengers time, and he's like, oh, you want me to just, what do you want me to do? The raw, and like where he pretends like, I just, it's like future me and past me, or me now and past me, are looking at the same situation. And like old me would have retaliated, been raw, like scared, defense, like that would be my defense mechanism. But looking back on it, like it's the best decision I ever made, and I'm happy I did it. So there's no need for all the theatrics. You know what I mean? Like I don't have to pretend anymore. I can just be who I am. I don't let it define everything that is about me,
right?
But it is a part of me, mm-hmm. and I'm not ashamed of it anymore. So I've learned to like let those worlds live together.
That's beautiful.
I know that was long and a rant, but
no,
that's why I relate so much to MCU Hulk. Because sometimes the thing you're most scared of isn't that bad at all. And it actually opens the doors for new opportunities. So,
and it's kind of funny because there's a part also in Endgame where Hulk is looking at Thor and said, you know, I was low too at one point, you know who helped me get out of that, you know, and just kind of very self-reflective.
Yes.
And it kind of sounds like also something you would say, you know, is, hey, I've been there, but you know how I got through? It's because of you. Or, you know, and just, you know, just a really beautiful, well said
Clinton. There's also a part when we first see MCU's Hulk and he's talking to Black Widow or Natasha, and he says, you know, I put a bullet in my head and the big guy spit it back out.
Yeah.
And I, as someone who's struggled with suicide in the past over those issues, that hit home too. Mm-hmm. And I encourage anyone, not just LGBT issues, But if LGBT issues, there is support out there and there are people that you can reach out to and they will have your back. And I promise it does get better. But also on the side of suicide issues, please, please reach out to someone. Mm-hmm. It's a temporary situation, but you don't have to have a permanent solution. Like, there is help and there's hope. And as someone who has went through those things, it can be better. I promise you.
There was also, sorry, Clinton, there was also a point in the Avengers 2 where I don't get a superpower. I get exposed like a nerve. That's something also, I think, when you were struggling to be yourself, you know, like you felt, you know, almost like exposed. You just didn't.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, it was like that. I mean, exposed like a nerve. I don't know what I would have done if someone would have exposed me back in the day.
Yeah.
Someone that may have known. There was a couple of people I let know ahead of time before I came out, but it was such a shame in my mind. And it took a lot of growth and it took a lot of support to get me to a place of being comfortable.
And what's so amazing about this podcast that a lot of people, if you're listening, this is definitely a deep cut, but Clinton, I worked with him 10 years ago. We worked together and I knew you before, you know, you came out. I knew you when you were, you know, still kind of having, you were, and I mean this with all due respect, you're almost a completely different person because you were shielded, you were guarded, you, I could tell.
I was a great actor for a long time.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, luckily when we met and became, you know, coworkers, like, I remember talking to you about comic books on break. We would talk about movies. The MCU was just starting. They were like 2 or 3 years in. And we would talk about the movies or something like that. And I just always remember, man, Clinton knows his stuff, man. This is awesome. And I always, like, after one of those movies, I always wanted to talk to you. Or, you know, and it's just so funny because then we stayed friends on Facebook. I watched you from very far distance, you know, like, because trust me, I can't imagine what you were going through when you came out and also came through, you know, and it was so cool to kind of root for you. And then I remember this podcast idea started and you reached out and, hey, man, I'd love to be on it. And it was so cool meeting you again. Oh, actually, I'm going to say this. It was so cool meeting you for the first time. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I got to know Clinton. I think before I saw a mask and this, I got to know you. And it's just been such a wonderful experience because I feel like you and I are closer than we've ever been, obviously.
100%.
You know, but I also feel like a big reason why is because this is the dude that I should have met 10 years ago, you know, and I hate that it took you so long, but I also love that it brought this wonderful, beautiful human being right here in front of me. And if that, hey, sometimes it takes a long time for the caterpillar to become a butterfly, but hey, you know, and I'm just,
well, everyone's journey is different.
Exactly.
Too. You know, mine was a different background and being in,
it's so amazing to know you. You know, you.
Well, thank you.
I didn't know you before. I didn't. 10 years ago, I had a comic book geek connection with you, but I didn't know you. And now I got that connection with you and I know you. And I'm so thankful for that. And I love you to death, man. And, you know, just I love everything you preach and you speak about. And I love everything that you stand up for. And know that mic, I love that you use it for everything.
Well, thanks, friend. Yeah. I appreciate that. I love you guys too so much.
You're an amazing man.
You're an amazing man.
No, I'm not. I'm an amazing manly man.
Yes.
A manly man, the Scarlet. I don't know where I'm going. Ford, built Ford tough.
That's Buick. Buick.
That's built for tough, but it's Buick that we were. It was fun. I don't know.
It's GM. Yeah.
Come on, Ford. Dead. Sponsor it's us, dead. Ford. Come on. You got gold here.
But we talked Buick. We need GMC to sponsor us.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to bring us all down and be sappy. I love all you guys.
You didn't bring us all down. You didn't bring us down. You raised us up, brother. You didn't do that at all. So, guys, this has been a beautiful, beautiful episode. I thank you. If you sent in a message to us, appreciate you guys. All of you are amazing. Some really thought-provoking stuff. Absolutely amazing. Any last words before we head on out of here? And then the next time you hear from us, it's the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
In the spring, which is weird.
I know, right? I know.
The Winter Soldier? Why didn't they call him the Spring Soldier?
Right?
I mean, if they knew they were going to release it now, the Falcon and the Spring Soldier, a bird in the spring, and then you're going to say Winter Soldier? The Falcon ain't going to be... I don't know how falcons work, so that joke's falling flat real fast.
There's some falcon scientist that's listening. Oh, you idiot. Hey.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Love you guys. Thank you again for everything you sent in. This was a really fun episode.
Deuces.